Around the world, the Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Hello, friends. This is Pastor David Langford. As always, we'd like to welcome you today to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. We trust and we pray that the last few programs, I believe a total of four programs, you have been encouraged, strengthened, and spiritually challenged regarding prayer and fasting. It's sad. It is tragic that we never hear anyone, hardly ever, and I mean that with all sincerity, we hardly ever hear anyone admonishing the church, the body of Christ, to fast. It's sad. This is why the church is so decrepit, so demented, and so twisted today. The church of the living God will never be that way, but what we see as a nominal church is pathetic. And I say that in love. I don't say that to be cruel or harsh or demeaning. It's just pathetic to see what is advocated and appropriated today as the gospel of Christ. I mean, preachers are even becoming more and more effeminate looking. I mean, they don't even look like men. They look like hybrid transgenders. I'm serious. Long hair, can't grow a beard, got a ponytail. Then we got the women preachers whose hair looks like a G.I. soldier. There's something wrong spiritually. It's called spiritual darkness. A woman ought to look like a woman, and a man ought to look like a man. But because of this exceeding and abundance of tolerance today, we are accepting anything. And regretfully, we got preachers preaching anything that is so heretical, so full of heresy, so full of fallacy, so full of mendacities. It begs description. 50 years ago, you could walk into any church fundamentally and heard an old-fashioned gospel message. That day, that era is gone. And because of all of this profuse tolerance, we're witnessing the demise, the destruction of what was supposed to have been the church, the body of Christ. And it has become so compromised. And I blame the preachers because they do not have a willingness. They have no desire to fast and to pray and to preach against sin. They just don't want to say anything about where anyone might possibly be living. Sad, isn't it? But it is the sign of the times. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous or dangerous times shall come." Our world is more tenuous than yesterday. And if you haven't had a chance to watch my YouTube video entitled "A Revelation to a Nation," you need to take the time to watch that video. Very, very insightful, not because I did it, but because of the truth that is in it. Amen. But I'm here today to encourage you. Many of you I know are fasting with us, praying with us, laboring with us, and I want to say thank you. And I want to encourage you, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Run the race, finish the course. Be a good soldier, as Paul the Apostle told his beloved son in the faith, Timothy. Be a good soldier. Endure hardness. Sometimes the pilgrimage becomes hard and arduous and difficult, but you've got to endure it. Let me encourage you to fast with us, to continue with us. However long the Lord might lead you, that's between you and God. One day, 2 days, 3 days, 5, 7, 10, 15, whatever. But I promise you, you do your best, God will always make up the difference. My best is never good enough. But my best, with God's addition, is more than enough. You remember the servant and Elijah? The servant saw the multitudes of Syrian soldiers and army. He said, "We're going to die." The prophet of God declared, "God, open his eyes and let him see." And when God opened his eyes, the servant said, "They that be for us are more than they that be against us." Hallelujah. I believe the prophet of God walked in such an anointing and spirit. He constantly saw the armies, the host of God. The angels of God were camped round about the man of God. Thus, when he saw the enemy, he didn't become fearful and full of anxiety and trepidation and say, "Hey, I need some drugs to alleviate the mental pain, anguish, and torment." He rejoiced. Why? He saw Jehovah and his heavenly host camped round about the man of God. And thus he had confidence, certitude, not arrogant, not bigoted or self-righteous, but he witnessed the power of God there. It was there. You and God are always a majority. I'm going to be speaking to you today from the book of Psalms, chapter 27, but I want to play a song today by Kim Coleman and Randy Knapps. I pray it'll bless you. God, his precious, precious hand is always outstretched to the child of God. Listen to the words of this beautiful song today. Amen.
Precious Lord, won't you take my hand?
That is my desire today. I pray that is your desire today. God, lead us on. Although we become weary, fatigued, and tired, and sometimes this flesh does grow profusely weary, but Jehovah is faithful. I want to go today to one of the most powerful psalms that's ever been penned, Psalms 127. I'll correct that, Psalms 27, not 127, but Psalms 27. Psalms chapter 27, beginning at verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. I'm going to read that passage again. That's powerful. That is anointed with the Holy Ghost. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. I want to use for a thought today the strength of the Lord. The strength of the Lord. Without a doubt, there are times within our lives when we question our strength, we question our ability to go onward because of untold adversity, pressures that are being applied from outside forces that seemingly overwhelm and extenuate our existing difficulties and problems. Satan will bring another object, another subject, another plot, another ploy against the child of God. What is he trying to do? He's trying to beat us down so terribly that we just feel like we can't go on. Fear, discouragements, and spiritual battles are all tools of the devil to deter the path of the redeemed. Satan seeks to wear every one of us down with some ploy, some means, some mode, some method. In spite of our difficulties, however, we must be like the psalmist David when he declared, "The Lord is the strength of my life." The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? In other words, David said his mere life and existence was due to the strength of the Lord that was permeating his own body, mind, soul, and spirit. The New Testament equivalency of that is found in Acts 17:28. Paul said, "In him we live and move and have our being." My friend, you are living, you are surviving, you are standing strong today because the Lord has been the strength of your life. Without a doubt, many, many, many times Satan has sought through some means, some ploy, some method, some fiery dart from hell, some wiles of the devil. He has sought to permeate your heart, to permeate your mind, and beleaguer you as a child of God and seek to utterly destroy your life. Some days it is difficult to get out of bed. Some days it is difficult to utter a prayer. Some days it is difficult to turn to the pages of the Word of God and seek edification and strength for your soul. I know some days we question, God, where are you? Why? Why have you seemingly abandoned me? Why have you left me in this particular place, circumstance, and situation? See, all those thoughts are from the devil. I said all of those thoughts are from the devil. Why? Because we are told in Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Jehovah has promised you and I, and every one of you listening today, tomorrow, on a podcast, Saturday night, whenever, the devil always lies to you, and he tells you bad things. He tells you evil things. Our Savior is not evil. Just because we may find ourselves in a very trying and difficult circumstance or situation, or even a fiery trial, the Lord God of Abraham has always been with his people. We are to be people of faith. We don't deny the problems. We don't deny the fiery trial. We do not deny the adversity. We do not deny the persecution. It is real. It is genuine. And because you happen to be in a trial or a difficult strait or a difficult place, it's not because you don't have faith. You've got faith. That's why you're there. You're following the Lord. That's why the enemy has come so adamantly against you, my friend. These charlatans out there who declare if you're having a problem or a difficulty, you just need more faith. How about telling Paul the apostle when he was shipwrecked so many times he needed more faith? Or after having been stoned or beaten or even robbed? Yeah, tell the apostle Paul, you just lack faith. That is so cynical. That is so ludicrous. That is the shallowness and the emptiness of these preachers who are just trying to come up with rhetorical jargon as though they have something important to say. As I was sitting here, I thought about the litany of things that the Apostle Paul went through in 2 Corinthians 11, beginning at verse 24. 2 Corinthians 11, beginning at verse 24, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Five times he was beaten with 39 stripes. Five times. 195 lashings upon the man's back. Thrice was I beaten with rods. It's one thing to be beaten with a whip. It's another to be beat with a rod. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. My God, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in the waters, tempestuous waters, briny waves, wondering, am I going to die or will I make it to the shore? In journeyings, often, I've traveled and traveled and traveled and journeyed and journeyed and journeyed, he said. I've also had perils of waters, perils of robbers, the dangers of robbery, perils, dangers of mine own countrymen, and danger or perils by the heathen, and perils in the cities, danger in the city, danger, perils in the wilderness, danger, perils in the sea, and dangers and perils among false brethren. That's right, Paul had false brethren around him at times. You've had false Christians around you at times. They're fake. They're not real. They're not genuine. And weariness. Weary. Weary. Sometimes we get weary. Sometimes you are weary. Sometimes I grow weary. But the truth is, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You see, Paul knew this journey could make us weary. And as I'm thinking about that word, wearied, I think of Jesus in John 4, verse 6. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey. Let me tell you something. That's a good sign. You're in great company when you're in the company of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the Apostle Paul, both men wearied. Paul said, in weariness and painfulness. Some of you listening to me right now, your thought in your mind is, this is so painful right now. No, it's not physical pain. To some, it may be physical pain today. But to others listening today, it very well may be emotional pain, where you're hurting, where your heart is broken, your heart is grieved. There is such emotional toil in your life. Why? Because you're a Christian. You're bearing in your body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 6:17, Paul said, from henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, there will be marks. There will be battle scars. If you've been in the battle, there's got to be battle scars. The story has it, Paul was in prison. His back was toward the prison window, trying to garner sunlight, sunshine, so he could read and write the parchments to give to the churches. And some man was walking down the street. He looks through the prison window. He sees the back of the Apostle Paul. We just shared how he was hit and beat with stripes 39 times. 5 times was he beaten with stripes, beaten with rods. Weary, fatigued, burdened, trodden down. And history says this man that was walking by that prison window, he looked and he peered into that prison window and he saw the apostle's back. And he began to cry out while on the street, murderer, murderer, murderer. This man must be a murderer to have been beaten so profusely. And this is where we came up with that, I shouldn't say came up with, but where God anointed Paul to pen Galatians 6 and 17. From henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, I'm not a murderer. These are battle scars. These are wounds. These cuts, these bruises, these contusions, these are the battle scars of being a child of the Most High God. I'm not a murderer, but rather Paul said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Weariness, painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, fasting often. How often do we fast and pray and cry out to God? These limp-wristed, panty-waist preachers would never declare and challenge you to fast and crucify your flesh and nail your flesh to the cross of Jesus Christ, that Christ might live abundantly in your heart and in your life. Amen. In cold, in nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Paul just shared a litany of pain and suffering and sorrow that he went through. But he said, besides all of these pains and toils and sorrows and suffering, he said, I must take care of the churches that God has established in my life. I want to say thank you. I'm checked in my spirit. I want to say thank you for praying for me and dropping me a note of encouragement. Because too many times we are guilty like any other person. We magnify the negativity, the castigation, the impingement, the criticism, the acrimony. People, all they do is find fault. I've been accused of doing videos and reading a teleprompter. We don't have the money to buy teleprompters here at the Voice of Evangelism. I do this by my heart. It's in my spirit. It's in my soul. You can't be quoting all those Bible verses. You're reading a teleprompter. Just pure unadulterated criticism. Perils of countrymen. Perils of false brethren. There are more and more false brethren encompassing the church than ever before. That old, I believe it was a Spinner's song, Backstabbers. They stab you in the back all the time wanting to take your place. Backstabbers. Oh, yes, they're in the church. They're in the body of Christ. But Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11:30, if I must needs glory, I will glory in the things which concern mine infirmities. If I'm going to brag, if I'm going to tout my walk with God, then I will glory in my infirmities. Why? Because the greater the infirmity, the greater the glory. Remember, if you go from 2 Corinthians 11 to 2 Corinthians 12, the messenger of Satan was sent to buffet Paul lest he should be exalted above measure. Why? Because of the abundance of the revelations that were given unto him. And God said, Paul, in your weakness, my strength is perfected. He said, I will gladly, therefore, take pleasure in my infirmities. That's a man of God. That's a man of God. That's hard when you're being beat down. It's hard when you're being criticized. It's hard when the fiery darts of hell are trying to pierce your soul, your mind, and your spirit. And you say, oh, thank you, Lord Jesus, for my sufferings. I thank you, Lord God, that I'm counted worthy to suffer with you. I thank you, Lord God, that I bear this cross. I bear this burdensome cross. I thank you for this, God. It's hard to pray that way, isn't it? Absolutely. It's difficult to pray that way. Why? Because nobody in the natural wants to suffer. But Paul said, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. You see, the life of the child of God, regretfully, is a life of suffering. 2 Timothy 2:12, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. You see, suffering sometimes will bring you into a place, a disposition of either witnessing and declaring you know Christ or denying that you know Christ. When the suffering, the shame, the reproach of being a disciple of Jesus Christ came to the Apostle Peter, where the damsel said, "Surely thou art a Galilean, for thy speech betrayeth thee." He began to curse and began to swear and said, "I don't know this man called Jesus. I don't know him." And then the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the words of the Lord when Jesus said, "Peter, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And Peter said, "Not so, not so, not so. It'll never happen." Aren't you thankful for the mercy of God? Psalms 147, verse 11, "The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, and in those that hope in his mercy." I hope in his mercy every day. I hope in his mercy every day. There's not a day that doesn't go by that I do not hope in my God's mercy. Mercy. My God, I need the mercy of the Lord. Psalms 103, 17, "The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting unto everlasting, unto them that fear him." Do you fear God? If you fear God, you will get the mercy that you need. You'll get the mercy that you so adamantly need in your life, and we all need mercy at times. Oh, yes. I need mercy. You need mercy. Judgment demanded, justice, but mercy answered. Hallelujah. Psalms 128:7, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and my song, and with my song will I praise him." The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed. The Lord is your strength, folks. You feel good. You say, "I've overcome." You only overcame because of he that lives and abides in you. 1 John 4:4 says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." You overcome by the Son of God who lives, resides, and abodes in your clay jar, your earthen vessel. Oh, my God, how much strength and power he gives us. "Therefore we should render unto him the glory that is due his holy name." Psalms 29:2. "Give unto the Lord the glory that is due his holy name." Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Why don't you just slip up a hand right now and say, "God, I thank you. I'm washed in the blood. Hallelujah. Lord, I praise you." That's right. Those of you where you are right now, lift your hands. That's right. I'm in the studio. I got my hands lifted up. I'm in the presence of a king. I'm going to give honor and praise and glory to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I'm going to give him the praise because he is worthy of all the praise that I can bestow upon him. I have been ushered today. You have been ushered. We have been ushered into the presence of God. The presence of God. That old song, "Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place." Hallelujah. I thank God the Holy Ghost is right where you are right now. You may be sitting there on the sofa. You may be sitting in your favorite recliner. That's a good place to be to worship God. Just lift up those holy hands. Lift up those holy hands without wrath and without doubting and say, "Father, in Jesus' name, I love you. I honor you. I adore you. I praise you. I worship you, Lord. I worship you because you love me. I worship you because you saved me from my sins. I worship you because you snatched me from the jaws of death and of hell, and you put my feet on a solid rock.
You wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Oh, yes, some days the journey, the pilgrimage is difficult. It's arduous. It's overbearing. It's very tasking, to say the least. But the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Satan, all of your minions, your cohorts, I want you to look at the banquet table that Jehovah has spread before the redeemed in your ungodly presence, Satan. The presence of the Lord is in this place. And God has prepared a table before us in the presence of our enemies. And he has anointed our heads with oil, and our cup today is running over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Praise God. When it's all said and done, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Oh, the psalmist understood God's presence. In Psalm 16, verse 11, he said, in thy presence is fullness of joy. God wants to fill your cup with joy today, friend. Just be thankful. Be thankful. Thank God right now. Thank God he gave you eyesight. He allowed you to awake this morning and to rise from your bed, and allowed you to listen to the voice of evangelism and hear the word of the Lord. For where the word of a king is, Solomon said, there is power. I said, there's power. Where the word of a king is, there is power. Don't ever doubt. When you hear the word of the Lord, you are hearing power. There is power in the word of a king. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 4. Where the word of a king is, there is power. You see, that word that you've been hearing today is the healing balm from Gilead to heal, to mend the brokenness. That word that you hear today brings strength, encouragement. It edifies. It builds you up. It makes you feel like traveling on. Oh, I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and it's near. I feel like traveling on. Aren't you glad that the strength of the Lord sustains you, undergirds you, strengthens you, and the Spirit of the Lord says, go on, child. Go on in your pilgrimage. You're not quite finished, but you're just about there. Keep running. Keep pressing. Keep praying. Keep fasting, and keep praising me in the midst of it all. We've all seen times when the day was dark, the trial was gloomy and dreary, and spiritual fatigue had set in the soul. Some of you listening, you said, I don't feel like going on. I don't feel like running the race. I don't feel like finishing the course. But something greater, mightier, and more powerful than you, deep down in your soul, said, press on, child of God, press on. Don't look back. Don't give up. I've often said one thing about Lot. There's things in the scriptures I don't understand about Lot. Peter said his righteous soul was vexed daily. I don't understand that. I don't understand that a man could offer his two virgin daughters to a mob of sodomites and say, take my two virtuous daughters and do good what seems right in your own eyes. I don't understand that. But I do understand when Lot's wife looked back from behind him and she became a pillar of salt. But Lot, he didn't look back. He didn't look back with tears of sorrow and pain and said, oh, my wife, my wife, my wife. You've heard me say this in Luke 17:32. Remember Lot's wife. We don't even know the woman's name. Yet we're told to remember her. I don't know her name. I don't know her name. But I do know what she did. She looked back. She became a pillar of salt. And Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, said, you better remember her. Remember Lot's wife. There are a lot of things in life. It's needful that we forget. There are a lot of things in life that we ought to dismiss. But Jesus said, I want you to remember that woman. Why? Because she lost her soul in disobedience. I've come too far by faith. I've come too far by faith to quit the journey now. I'll be 63 years old next month. My days are numbered. My strength is waning and abating. My vision, it too is waning and abating. My posture, my stature, waning and abating. But if you could see the inside, if you could see the man inside of the clay jar, he's getting stronger and more determined to finish strong. I don't want to just barely get in. I want Jehovah to swing wide the gates. I'm coming home. Swing wide the gates. Let me say this to those of you who have fear of death. You're not going anywhere till God is ready to bring you home. You're not going to go prematurely. The devil's going to sell you a bill of goods, but you don't need to be buying what the devil's selling. I said, don't be buying what the devil is selling. It's no good. It's no good. Remember, the Lord is your shepherd. David said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? What are you afraid of? Some say, death. Why be afraid of death? Jesus conquered it. He said, I have the keys of death and of hell. Amen. Revelation 1, 18. Jesus said, I've got those keys. Keys are always symbols of authority. He said, I've got those keys. Satan doesn't like it that he has those keys. Because those keys, as I said, are symbolic of power. And Jesus took the keys of death and hell and said, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and of hell. Amen. I love that phrase. I am alive forevermore. One day, you're going to see the face of Jesus. You will see Jesus like Job said. Job said, I will see him with mine own eyes, not the eyes of another man. Nobody's going to try to explain to Job what Jesus Christ, the Son of God, looks like. Job says, I'm going to see him for myself. Job 19:27, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Whom I shall see for my eyes shall behold, and not another. I won't be a stranger when I see Jesus, and I promise you, Jesus won't be a stranger to you. You won't say to someone, hey, would you point out the Son of God to me? Would you direct me toward his presence? Oh, no. Nobody will have to tell us who Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, because everyone will know. Every knee will bow. Every tongue shall confess. No one will say, hey, as subjects, bow to this man. No. They'll just bow. Revelation 1:7 says, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. You won't say, who's that man standing over there? You'll know. You'll know him, and he'll know you. The strength of the Lord. I said, the strength of the Lord. I'm going to pick this back up tomorrow. As you well read in my January newsletter, the sum total of 2018 is 11. 11 means disorder. Disorder. Though we're witnessing an all-out attack. And I thought about this wolf guy that wrote this book, Fire and Fury. Wolf. He was a sheep in wolf's clothing. Now the truth has come out. He didn't ever interview anyone. This is why it's imperative to keep praying for our president, because God is about to make a revelation to a nation. We're evil, folks. You and I, as godly people, have no idea. We have no true understanding of the depth of the criminality, the debasedness, the rottenness of this nation. We are rotten. We are rotten as hell itself. Yes, we are. We're rotten. And we're getting more rotten at the core because preachers will not stand up and wield the Spirit, the sword of the Lord, which is the Word of God. They won't do it. They've watered down. They've polluted the message. They've tickled the people's ears. They're feeding them cotton candy. They're giving them junk, fluff and stuff. Sermonettes to the Christianettes. Smoking their marijuana cigarettes. And then when somebody comes along and preaches a pure word, I don't like him. I'm going to find somebody that's more palatable, somebody that makes me feel good. There's no shortage of feel-good preachers, I'll tell you that. There's no shortage of feel-good preachers, I'll tell you that. They're all out there. There's just so many of them out there. And some of the ones that are attempting to preach repentance and things of that nature, If you listen to their message, they're so doctrinally skewed on other subjects, like no thousand-year millennial reign of Christ. An absolute denial. Yet in Revelation chapter 20, verses 2 through 7, six consecutive times the phrase thousand-year of Christ, or the phrase thousand years, is used six consecutive times, verse 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And yet they say, there's no thousand-year millennial reign of Christ. See, the devil will give you nine parts truth, so he can slip in one part lie and deceive you. Yeah. Jesus said, don't let no man deceive you. Jesus knew that deception would be Satan's greatest, most powerful tool in the time of the end to get you to believe a lie. Don't believe the lies of the devil, folks. Whatever I preach, whatever anyone would preach, advocate, or appropriate, measure it with the measuring stick, which is the Word of God. Measure it with God's Word, nothing else. Nothing else. I get about once a month somebody telling me, oh, you're not going to burn in hell forever. That's the Bible says different. You go to the 14th chapter of Revelation, verse 11. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest, day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. No, it doesn't say great tribulation saints. It just says saints. You see, men have slid that phrase in there on you, and you think there's a difference. There is no difference. That's man's lies. Those are great tribulation saints. The church is gone. That's not what it says, though, does it? Here is the patience of the saints. And forever and ever, my friend, is forever. Okay? Forever and ever is forever. You're going to listen to a lie, and you're going to take it hook, line, and sinker. And these false teachers, these false prophets are going to be responsible for the damning of souls. That's why we preach uncompromisingly. God bless. I'll see you tomorrow in the Lord Jesus Christ.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to the Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.